think it's starting to come now.
Is it working?
Oh, I'm still on.
Competition.
With you this morning, as we look into the Word of God and consider the days we're living in, we did mention something about little David. He has his good days and his bad days. He seems to be still full of energy. The palliative care doctor was in last week or week before, and they are surprised that he is not in pain, which we attribute to the prayers of the saints and, of course, the Lord's goodness. Little David, of course, as you know, he's 2 years old and he has cancer, and he's our grandson. And the other little Seth, he's also our grandson, and he's had an open heart surgery a number of weeks back, and now he's doing very well. So we are grateful for the Lord's goodness and his timing and all of the blessings he bestows upon us each day. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, as we open your word this morning and consider the days we are living in, we just pray that you would open our hearts to receive the truth of your word, to understand that the things you would say to us are true. You cannot lie. They're not from man. But Father, that you have orchestrated our lives through these days. And so, Father, we just pray your blessing upon the service. We pray, invite your presence, your Holy Spirit, to minister. We pray for the children downstairs as they're being taught. And Father, for your word as it goes forth all over the place, all over the world this day. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I just can't help but consider the days we're living in. We don't want to ignore the times and are the times that we're living in. And so I have a question this morning is, where are we on the prophetic timeline? And we'll expand on that in a moment. And the points that are here, they're not necessarily mine. They are, but they just establish my thoughts in regards to the points of a message. But I do want to share a few things before I start in regards to the day we are living in. And we know that the days are more and more evil as we progress towards the end and before the Lord's return. I found it interesting that this was published on the 17th, which was this week. It says this: on Tuesday, Project Veritas released the latest video of a whistleblower exposing the mainstream news media questionable journalistic ethics within one of the largest media companies in the U.S. Former CBS 5 San Antonio promotions producer Brett Mauser sat down with James O'Keefe and sounded the alarm over the station's mandatory diversity and inclusion training that instructs its journalists, producers, editors, and anchors to completely remove objectivity from their news reporting and coverage. So essentially, lie for the sake of the approval of the approved narrative and cover up the objective facts along the way. In other words, fake news. Mauser explained how the overwhelming assault by corporate to champion this woke ideology has convinced a shocking number of the news staff to buy into the woke virtue signaling, casting aside any modicum of journalistic ethics they may have had in the process. According to Mauser, you can't trust the news at all, and they don't even care if you do anyway. This just again on the same day last week. While the media declares the notion of climate lockdowns to be fake news, conspiracy theory, India is preparing to impose a climate lockdown to reduce pollution. I'm just showing you where we're at here. Again, this was November 14th from the Alliance, Freedom Alliance. A militant secularism that is hostile to religion has been on the rise for many years. During the pandemic, it grew to fruition. Who would have imagined that a local mayor could stop citizens from worshiping while a casino could still operate? But then, who would have imagined that federal, state, and local leaders could punish Americans for living according to the objective truth that we were created male and female? Who could have imagined that faith-based adoption agencies would be punished for living out their belief that marriage is between a man and a woman? Believing that all we do or we need to do is look inside in order to flourish has not made America more pluralistic. Indeed, instead, hyper-individualism has led to surging intolerance against those who dissent from new orthodoxy on sexuality, marriage, and the family. What am I saying? I'm just bringing out the fact that these are facts, these are things that are happening. We are living, I believe, and I don't know how many of you would agree with me, in the end times. Can I see a show of hands if you really believe that? We're living in the end times, and we need to consider what God says in his words. Now, as I say, the points are not mine. I'll attribute them to the Pastor Gary Golay. But let's take these things. There are actually 8 tests whereby we know where we are on the prophetic timeline. The first test is the character rot test, R-O-T. The character rot test, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, I'm going to be using a lot of scripture to show you what the Word of God says, not what I say. It is godlessness in the last days. Verse 1 of chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's quite a list. That's quite a list. Are you seeing some of those things happening around you? I happened to see this one clip. I believe it was in a courtroom setting, or at least where a particular lawyer was interviewing 2 ladies. One actually was a medical doctor, and the other one was in charge of a abortion clinic. And he asked, these are yes and no answers. Yes and no answers. Is it true that if you kill a 2-year-old, that is classified as murder? And of course, you know where he was going. They would not give him a yes or no answer. Of course, he came back and said, if you kill a baby in the womb, is that murder? They would not. Give them a yes or no answer. And basically the lawyer said to the judge, he said, I will make a statement that they did not answer the question. Where is the thinking today? Where is the thinking today? I mean, that's just one aspect. And I know this, we're going to get into some positive things, believe it or not. And I don't need to express some of these things, but all around us we see that, well, slanderous is diabolical, brutal. When Paul speaks of, or Timothy, Paul spoke to Timothy about brutal, it means people are untamed. There's no constraint. There is no moral consciousness. Promoters of evil, self-explanatory. I believe the world, as we see it today, is taking a deliberate shift. And you can see these things take place. Romans 13, of course, speaks of submission to authorities and fulfilling the law through love. In other words, law and order must exist in a country in order to function properly. Law and order has to exist in order for a country to function properly. And we see things beginning to break down. God cannot lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, that's the first test, is a character wrought test. The second one is the apostasy test. Again, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading out of the ESV. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. What are we to do? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Oh, that God would help us do those things. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove. People don't want to be reproved or rebuked or exhorted. And yet we have to do it with complete patience and teaching. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. I'm doing a study on what people think of hell today. Well, it's amazing. That is not being taught in churches today. Neither is the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is apostasy. I found this, that Irenaeus, in book 5, is 150 years A.D. He was a disciple of Polycarp, and who was a disciple of John the Apostle. And in the present-day church, we see that it is moving away from the truth and exchanging truth for a lie in order to remain relevant in the culture of our present times, which I believe are the end times. The church will defect from reason and truth and call good evil and evil good. We are to need to be prepared for the apostasy that we see. When people will say, and you tell me, have you heard somebody say, oh, I no longer believe that? Have you come across a person that says that? Or, I'm having a crisis of faith? Or, I'm really questioning God, or if there even is a God. And if you're true, when you think about it, I've heard those things. I've heard in our neighborhood where a person will say, oh, I'm not of that persuasion, when you talk to them about a sovereign God. Or they refuse and are affronted when you confront them or share the testimony of Jesus with them. But even young people today, I believe, are having a crisis of faith. Now, it's not everyone, and praise the Lord for that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 says this. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The apostasy test. Are we seeing that around us? Which leads to the next test, the lawlessness test. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. The lawlessness test. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. Who is the restrainer? Holy Spirit. Do you agree with that? Who is restraining today? Exactly. And where is the Holy Spirit? In us. We're sealed unto the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. How is the Holy Spirit going to be taken out of the way? The rapture of the church. It's coming. In fact, you and I could be any moment. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. After the church is taken up, after the Holy Spirit is taken up, it says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, not before. Whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by his appearance of his coming. And of course, that will be when he comes after the seven-year tribulation. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Lawlessness versus restrainer. The lawless one versus the restrainer. What do we see today? Financial fraud, Antifa, BLM, riots, all kinds of evil around the world. People are literally getting away with murder. And I don't have to express that. You can look in the Middle East and see that. The Holy Spirit, through and in the believers in the church today, are restraining evil in industry, finances, politics, on and on it goes. He is the restrainer. By doing what is right through Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are restraining the evil that could be there but for their influence. And it's not us, it's Christ in us and the Holy Spirit in us. Wait until this is removed. And then the world will really have what it wants. The church is being persecuted. Believers are being persecuted. More so in other countries, but we need to be ready. Soon, Christ's bride, the church, will be called to the bridegroom's home, and then God's day of wrath will be poured upon the earth. So that's the lawless test. The next one is the scoffer test. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This is now the second letter that I write to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring you up, stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. 2 Peter chapter 3. And what's the reminder? That you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlook this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, the earth was formed out of water, and through water, by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord's not slow concerning his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, and wishing that any, not wishing that any of you should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? How can we do that? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will not be on, will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Oh, that we would put our complete faith and trust in the one who cannot lie. We had a wonderful time around the Lord's table this morning. He is worthy. He is worthy to receive honor and glory and majesty and power. Number five is the assembly of a one world government test. Psalm 2, verse, the first six verses, talks about the reign of the Lord's anointed. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth are set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. And that's happening. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Jesus Christ has allowed the wicked one. He is the prince of the power of the earth. But when Jesus was tempted, it is written, it is written, it is written. You know, I'm thinking about God in his mercy and how, we'll go back to Abram and Lot. Abraham, there was division among his servants and Lot's servants. And so he said, Lot, you go one way and I'll go the other way. You choose and I'll go the other way. And Lot saw Sodom and that country there before the Lord destroyed it. It was very, very great, prosperous. And so he, through the eyes of, looks good, went that way. Then God came to Abraham and told Abraham what he was going to do because of the wickedness that was there. What did Abraham do? He said, Lord, if there are 50 righteous in there, would you destroy it? God says, no. If there were 45, God said, no. If there was 30, no. If there was 35, no. If there's 20, Lord, I'm only going to ask one more time. If there are 10 who are righteous, God says, no, I will not destroy it. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's patience with mankind is patience with us. God's day of grace, the time of the Gentiles, is still here. And we need to consider that he still has people that are coming into the kingdom, his kingdom. You know, the Tower of Babel was also another judgment of God, where they said, let us build something and put ourselves really up there. And what did God say? If we don't come down and disperse them, they are going to be able to do almost anything they want. Can you see that these things are coming together again? I mean, you just go onto your computer and you can translate. I get emails from my cousins in Holland and they write it in Dutch, and right in the thing it's translate from Dutch to English, and I can read the Dutch, but I translate it just to make sure I got the translation right. Very simple. It's like a world is really, it's a global community. It is a globalist mentality, and it's confusing our daily lives in some respects. It confuses sexuality, right from wrong, and politics and law. What about borders? When you think of Belarus and Poland, when you think of Mexico and Texas, destabilization. One world government. We could go on, but the fact remains that what does the Word of God say? Here's number 6, the return of the Jews to their homeland test. How many of you know that the Jews are continuing more and more to return to their homeland? It's happening. It's happening today. We have I mentioned before, we have a number of Jewish families and people living around us, and I've had the opportunity to talk with them and interact with them. And the one just told me that in January he's going back to Israel. He's a professor at Trent University. We've had some very good talks together. But it's happening. It's happening. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21 and 22. Then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. And I will make them as one nation in the land on the mountain of Israel. According to Amir Sarfati, who is a Messianic Jew, he says that the Jews are coming to faith in Yeshua, and it is on the increase, and which is precisely what you would expect in the prophecy, if the prophecy was for today. Jews are turning to Christ. Number 7, the collision of Russia, Iran, and Turkey test. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, but we're just going to read it out of Ezekiel 38. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward Gog of the land of Magog, which is Russia, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, saying, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great host, all of them with buckler and shield and wielding swords. Persia, Cush, and Put are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his hordes, Beth Togarmah for the uttermost part of the north with all his hordes. Many peoples are with you. And if you look these names up, you will see that they are with Russia, Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Libya, whatever other nation that God is going to bring them against Israel. And today we see this coalition assembling. In fact, not long ago, there was a picture in the news about the Russian flag, which is now flying next to the Iraqi flag, which of course is on the northern border of Israel. And you just look at the Middle East and you'll see what is the big thing there. It's really natural gas. And the hordes are going to come, and they're going to try to make it rich off of what the nation of Israel. God has designed this. God has designed this. We see the day approaching. There is another test the test of Sheba and Dedan. Ezekiel 38, verse 13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to you, have you come to seize spoil? Have you assembled your hosts to carry off plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to seize great spoil? Israel is a leader, obviously, in the Middle East. They have found large deposits of natural gas. They are leaders in dairy, in biotech, medical industry. In fact, they are selling their biotechnology to a lot of the countries that have aligned with them as far as the Abraham Accord. We think of United Arab Emirates and some of these other countries. And they are now providing military aid, selling them the military aid that Israel has developed. Russia continues to build alliance in the Middle Eastern nations. Sudan or Kush, Sudan is Kush and Iran is Persia. They are strong allies with Russia. The Muslim nations of Central Asia are developing ties with Iran, Russia, and Turkey. The hatred for Israel by these Middle Eastern nations, Muslim nations, continues to boil. And you just don't have to go far, and you can see even with internally with those countries, they are really suffering. It's not too difficult to imagine that the nations mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 1 to 7, coming together under Russian leadership to mount a furious attack on Israel. And who are the nations that object and oppose to the Ezekiel prophecy? Are the ones who you would expect from the present-day political Western situation. The Western powers is described as by Tarshish, by her young lions, new leaders on the world scene. But just to explain this, Sheba and Dan, a little further. But there is also an Eastern power named that objects to the Russian invasions, which are Sheba and Dedan. And these were ancient names from the land we know today as Arabia, and especially Saudi Arabia, showing that at least some of the Arab states will not favor Russia's presence in the Middle East. And how many peace accords do they have with some of these Middle Eastern nations? Look it up. You'll see that there are actually quite a few, and they are friends with Israel at this point in time. What is the one Middle Eastern nation that is allied with the West, unlike the other Islamic nations in the region, even though she exports and funds the spread of extreme Wahhabi Islam worldwide? And the obvious answer is Saudi Arabia, which is ancient Sheba and Dedan, the north and the south of Arabia. If you look in the newspapers and your news, you'll see that the events alignment of the nations predicted in Ezekiel 38 is in place today. Western Europe, Tarshish, Saudi Arabia, Sheba, and Dedan are allied today, just as portrayed in the prophecy, while Russia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, and most of the other nations in the Middle East and the Persian Gulf are aligned against the West, just as prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38. We are getting closer. We're getting closer. You know, I find it interesting that even in Daniel chapter 9 verses 24, 27, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but with laser accuracy, Daniel predicts the exact time of the coming of Jesus. That was his first time in when he came into Jerusalem. And the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem was 445 BC. And if you calculate his calculations in Daniel 18, there were 173,880 days from the decree of Artaxerxes to Christ's first coming, and puts it into the triumphal entry into Jerusalem during the Passover week of the Jews. I mean, you can look this up. Many studies have been done on it. It's exactly as the scriptures bear out. So why should we not why should not other portions of the scripture be as accurate? And they are. And praise the Lord. God is a God of order and preciseness and does not deviate from his character, for he is unchangeable. That's Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Barna Research says this, and I'm coming back to the church today. Slightly over half of Christians responded, say they believe someone can obtain salvation by being or doing good. A figure that includes 46% of Pentecostals, 44% of mainline Protestants, 41% of evangelicals, and 70% of Catholics. The same survey says this, in addition to the viewpoint that eternal salvation can be earned, survey results show that 58% of Americans believe that no absolute moral truth exists and that the basis of truth are factors or sources other than God himself. 77% said that the right and wrong is determined by factors other than the Bible. 59% said the Bible is not God's authoritative and true word. And 69% of the people said that they are basically good. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Matthew 24, verse 36 to 44 says this, but of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so shall it be by the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in. Therefore, be ye also ready, for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25, 13, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Ye know not. I want to share some thoughts here with what this Jewish emir is talking about. He says, we are at the door of such an age. Think about it. People who believe and who demand others to do so, that gender is fluid and a choice, want to tell us how to imagine or manage our health. People who believe that the vast cloud of dust and gas that exploded billions of years ago without an explanation from where the gas and the dust came from, which created all that we see today through the gradual series of evolutionary steps, are largely in control of our educational systems. Even in the church, we see deception and delusions, which, with a focus on signs and wonders that look nothing like they did in the Bible, yet are claimed to be manifestations of the power of God. Since we have the mind of Christ, he says, whether we are seeking those things, since we have the mind of Christ, however, we who are seeing these things need not be deceived by them. Governments and nations are imploding, and world powers are united around globalism. Much of the earth has defected from the truth and its mission of preaching the gospel, and have become social justice warriors who seek to equalize the quality of life on earth rather than change the eternal destiny of the earth's inhabitants. What we need to consider in all of this is that we're running out of boxes to check all these tests. tribulation period, I think, is coming, and maybe soon. An event that is immediately preceded by the rapture of the church. In other words, we are running out of time to tell others about Jesus. We are running out of time to stand for the truth. We are running out of time to warn that judgment is coming. We need to tell others about him and save them. We don't save, the Lord saves, but from the judgment to come. I want to close with a thought. Years ago in California, there was a big evangelistic conference. I might have shared this with you before. And the preacher was downplaying the blood of Christ. And it's all about the blood of Christ and the cross. Our whole existence is because of that. And this one lady, I believe she was a lady, who was so burdened with the fact that truth was being withheld. Quietly, she started singing. And as she began to sing this song, more and more people joined in until there were thousands that had joined her in this particular venue. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw the stream that flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pray. Father, we know we've redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And Lord, we know that there are many around us who are falling headlong into eternity without Christ. Father, would you just increase the burden of our heart to speak the truth in love, to witness by the example of our lives, to be that salt and light, the light that burns darker in the as the days, the light that burns brighter as the days darken, and the salt that preserves, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be working in us to restrain and to purify not only us, but those around. And Lord, some of us have family members who are not saved. Lord, we long for the day to see them come to salvation. Lord, be with us in the days ahead in such a way that we would really experience divine intervention by your grace, by your love. And Lord, you are the one to receive all the power, all the glory, all the honor. And for thy kingdom's sake, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.